Good morning. Good morning if you're at home. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, pray through your Holy Spirit you may speak to each one of us from your word this morning. Amen. First of all, can I say the church looks brilliant, so well done those of you, and thank you for help decorating. I've been a member of this church for over 40 years, and not once have I ever helped put the Christmas tree up. Still don't quite understand how it doesn't fall over. So thank you for all those who've been involved in making the church look so nice. Claire gave me a nudge in bed this morning at 7:10. I wasn't snoring. It wasn't to make a cup of tea, and she said, "Do you fancy preaching this morning?" So if this isn't quite so slick as it sometimes is, please forgive me. So Psalm 23, probably the most, the most well-known psalm of all, probably the most well-known chapter in the Bible. You've heard it preached at funerals, and you've heard it preached at weddings as well. And there are many ways in which we could tackle it. We could look at the psalm as being about a shepherd, verses 1 to 4, and verses 5 to 6, about the perfect host. We could also look upon it as the shepherd who leads his sheep, verses 1 to 3, and the shepherd who is with his sheep, verses 4 to 6. But we're just going to take it a bit more simply than that and just look at the chapter as the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is a shepherd. A shepherd was often used as a metaphor in the Old Testament for rulers and for kings. And Jesus calls himself, doesn't he, in John 10, the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And it's certainly a psalm of contrasts. We see outdoor and indoors, verses 1 and 5. We see peace in verse 2 and peril in verse 4. We see good in verse 6 and evil in verse 4. And then we see gloom in verse 4, but great celebration in verse 5. So as we look into this psalm, we're going to take a trip to a spiritual spa on this cold winter's day. It's a psalm of great encouragement and joy to us all. No real challenges today, no judgment, no nasty things happening. We're going to wallow in that hot tub this morning and think of God's great love and mercy and care for each one of us as our shepherd, as someone who looks after each one of us. So five things, I think it's five or six, we're going to look at very briefly today. First of all, in verse 1, that he's a shepherd who provides. This psalm is often taken out of context, and we look at things and, this seems too good to be true. So I shall not want doesn't mean that we will, as Christians, as followers of the Lord Jesus, that we'll get everything that we'll ever desire. This Christmas, we will get the iPhone 17. We will get that foreign holiday. We will get that extension to the back of the house. No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean that. But what it does mean is that we will have all that we will need, that we will be content. John in chapter 6 talks about being the Jesus being the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry. He who comes to me will never thirst. That doesn't mean that we won't have needs, but it's an encouragement that God is a God who will provide for us. He will look after us. And we are surrounded, aren't we, with so many of the things that we take so much for granted. The home we live in, that central heating that comes on, we hope, day by day. The supermarket shelves that, if not fully stocked, and we moan, aren't we, when we can't buy any, it used to be toilet rolls, disinfectant, whatever it is they go short of occasionally, bread, there's always, and we thank God for that, there's always enough to go round. So he's a shepherd who does provide for us, and that's something that we should be a great encouragement to us and a source of great thanks that he is a providing shepherd. Secondly, he's a shepherd. So you've just seen the third heading. Did you catch that very quickly? He's a shepherd who takes care of us in verse 2. He restores, verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Do you feel you're in that spa now? Green grass, those still waters. It's a summer's day. The sun is beating down on us, and the shepherd says, come sit down, maybe in the shade if you prefer the shade, on this lovely, lush, green grass. Maybe it's the winter time and it's freezing cold outside, and the shepherd invites you in and says, come and join me on this sofa next to this log fire. Let me warm you up. Let me give you a glass of hot chocolate or whatever you need in such circumstances. And there are many at this moment, maybe some at home. Think of the Carter family, think of Georgie and her family who are not well at the moment, and actually they need God's care. They need that invitation in. I hope you find it. I hope they find it. I hope you this morning, who have cares and needs, will come to that shepherd and feel that comfort which is there, which is promised for us, that comfort that he will actually look after us, because he's a shepherd who really does care for each one of us. And then in verse 3, he guides us. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He knows, the shepherd knows the good feeding places. He knows the paths which are not dangerous. He knows where to escape from the wild animals. He's a good shepherd. And of course, David, who wrote this, knew all about it. He was a shepherd. I've given a similar talk to children in the past, and instead of using the word shepherd, I've used the word bodyguard, and they're more modern colloquial expressions that we could say nowadays rather than the shepherd. We could say he's our guardian angel, he's our one-to-one, our protector, he's our trustworthy next-door neighbour, he's someone who's always there with us. He's a shepherd who cares for us, a shepherd who provides for us, and a shepherd who actually guides us. A shepherd who is in charge, who knows what is best. Again, this isn't a psalm that means that living our life on this earth is easy going. Genesis 1 points back to man. It was meant to be like that, but man's sin, man's rebellion against God has meant that life isn't as easy as God had originally meant it to be. But that life we can follow with a shepherd, a shepherd who is caring for us, providing for us, and a shepherd who is guiding us. Maybe we have a difficult week ahead at work, maybe a difficult week at home, maybe some difficult decisions to make. Maybe we've been asked to help in some area, maybe an area of leadership in the church, and we're not sure what to do. We're not sure how the week's going to pan out, how we're going to cope with that difficulty. Well, we have a shepherd who can help us and guide us. And of course, he doesn't help and guide us and forces that help and that guidance on us. He doesn't impose anything on us. He's a God who, a shepherd who gives us a free will. So like all sheep, We go astray, we go our own ways from time to time. But he wants to guide us. And I think there are many times in our lives when we ignore God and, in a sense, still expect to feel close to him. We ignore God and don't pray to him, don't read his word, and still expect him to guide us and make those decisions that are coming up, make them very easy to sort out. But as I was preparing this this morning, I thought also that because he is such a generous God, there are times that we do forget about him and we don't acknowledge him as we should, but he's still got control over our life. He still does guide us, sometimes without us and knowing us, and things work out and in a remarkable way, and we haven't really asked for that outcome, but it's just happened. Maybe you can think back sometime in your life. You haven't prayed terribly about it, but it's just, actually it's worked out. It's amazing how I never meant to come to Lowestoft, and here I am. I never meant to come to Christchurch, and here I am. I never meant to be living in that house, or I never meant to get that job, but it's actually all worked out really, really well. And if you're a Christian, I would say that is because you love and follow someone who is a shepherd who looks after you, guides you in all that you do. And if you're not a Christian and these things happen, I would challenge you, I would encourage you to think, why have these things happened? Maybe there is a God out there. Maybe there is someone who guides and looks after you and cares for you because he's someone who loves you. And the fourth thing the shepherd does, he protects. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. You're with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We need that shepherd at the moment. We've needed him since March, was it March 2020? Well, we've needed him before that, but a dark cloud has come over this world, probably in the way that a dark cloud has never come over the world. World War I, World War II, in some ways, probably isn't as bad and as global as the current situation that we face. And this psalm isn't saying that we won't walk through those valleys of death, we won't go through these dark times. It's not saying we pray and we're suddenly out into the sunlight again. But what it is saying, that's when we walk through these difficult times, then we know that there is someone with us, and that someone is God as our shepherd. So as we face isolation, and maybe that's why some of you are at home now, because you still feel you don't want to go out, you feel scared about going out, God is with you. But also there's a challenge, isn't there, that we need to be sensible at these times, we need to do what the government says, but there is a sense that we do have to just trust God and think, now, should I be doing a little bit more than I am doing? Because, he's called me to serve him. I've read this, and God's going to be with me and protect me and look after me. So maybe we ought to push the boat out a little bit and trust God as we... It's a crisis that we might well have to live with for a few months, maybe for the rest of our lives. Maybe COVID will replicate into even more forms and strains. Does that mean in 20 years' time we'll still be not attending church because of the fears? So I encourage you to remember that God is with you. He is looking after you and he is protecting you. And for those of you, for any of us who feel that we're going through those dark, and I'm focusing on COVID, but there are many other dark situations that we go through, don't we? Illness in ourselves, illness in someone we love, family turmoil in our own lives and the lives of families, family members, lots and lots of situations. And we pray, and we want that situation to go away, and it doesn't always go away. But this psalm reminds us that although it doesn't go away, God is walking with you through that time. There's that lovely card. It's a bit corny, isn't it, with the footsteps one. And there's only one set of footsteps because you have been carried by God. There's a corniness about it, but it's actually pointing. Probably the person who thought of that maybe had been thinking about this verse in Psalm 23, that God is with us as that good shepherd, carrying us and looking after us and taking us through those dark, those shadowy valleys that we all are walking through from in time to time, and some of us have been walking through them for some long time. And we're getting near the end. Verse 5, he encourages us, verses 3 and 5. He restores my soul. And these are some lovely expressions. He prepares a table before me. He anoints my oil, my head with oil, my cup overflows. He's a God who does encourage us. He encourages us in many ways. I think meeting together is so important for us as Christians, whether we're here, and I hope you feel that same encouragement at home, that as we gather round God's word, when we meet with God's people, then God does encourage us. He does restore us. He refreshes my soul. But of course, we need to turn to him to do that. Again, if we live our lives paying very scant regard to God, maybe let's face it, we are a bit of a Sunday Christian. We come to church on a Sunday, and that's it. But God wants that relationship. It's a seven-day-a-week relationship. He wants us to know, not only on a Sunday, that he is a God who looks after us and cares for us. So we need to keep in touch with him on a daily basis so that we can discover even more deeply all that that good shepherd has to offer. And finally, that lovely generous host, the slide I showed at the start. And David knew about this because 2 Samuel, there's a little instance in his life when he was being chased by people who wanted him dead. He was in turmoil. He knows what he's talking about, David. And he's talking about these things. We've probably heard preachers and thought, well, they've never been what I'm going through. But David has. He'd been through that shadow of death. He had people after him wanting to kill him. And there was an incident where his friends got together and gave him a meal. His enemies were nearby, but they prepared a meal for him. And I think David knew that. That's why he used this as an illustration. But for us, the application for us is that is God who's that generous host, who we know that one day that table will be laid full of all the goodies that we will ever desire or ever want. My cup overflows with his great goodness. We look forward, don't we, as Christians, to that final great banquet, that one day we will be in heaven, that we have no fear of death. The psalmist has already reminded us that God, when we walk through those difficult times, that he's with us, that one day that we will be with him in eternity. And for any listening today who maybe do not call yourselves Christians, that is something that, as Christians, we believe is really, really true, that death is not the end, that we can look forward to an everlasting banquet with the shepherd that we trust and follow. So this morning, be encouraged by this psalm, be restored by this psalm, be comforted, have your head anointed with oil this morning as we look at the psalm about a great shepherd who looks after us, who cares for us, who loves us, who wants the best for us, who guides us, and one day will provide us with all that we'll ever want or need. Amen.